In the third section of the Maimani Ladai, the Rebbe is telling us, coming back to the Moshel of the king coming out to the field and the Jews of the field being mekabel panim. So the Baal Tanya begins by explaining what does it mean to have a Jew who's on the level of a midbar, and what part of life is called, what does that mean the midbar. So the Rebbe is explaining that there are actions, words and thoughts that are not given over to Hashem. These are the desolate, empty actions, words and thoughts of our lives. Certainly, those that are chas v'shalom thoughts, words, or actions that are keneged Hashem, that are against Hashem. But even things that are dvarim b'taylim, doesn't have to be davka things that are against Hashem, but even things that are stam, not for Hashem, stam. And a person doesn't have the intention that it should be for Hashem. The Rebbe, that was something we spoke about last week. It has to be clear that when you make a bracha on something, you make a bracha on a piece of food, and you try to stop and think for a second. That's not being in the desert. That's a wonderful thing, right? That's even though you're eating, you're drinking, but that's something which is Hashem. It's part of your avodas Hashem. He's talking about stam dvar mitaylim, is on that level of Asher lo yoshev adam sham, meaning that no person dwells there, like a desert where there's nobody living in the desert, except over here, adam means the Shekhinah herself. That there are those things in life that we do where we're not drawing the Shekhinah, the presence of Hashem, into that moment, into that place of our lives. And it's a desert time. It's like a desert. Hashem Baruch wants every moment and place of the world to be filled with His presence, which is also the mikdash v'shechanti b'socham. Hashem wants to create, that each and every one of us should create, what? A mikdash, a sanctuary, a holy place in ourselves, in the moment we're in the place that we're in. And if we're not doing that, then we are in the madrega of midbar, of desert. So then, when we finished last week, so we're left with the difficult problem of, so how do we do this? What happens if you're stuck in the midbar, right? What happens if you're stuck in the midbar? What if you get stuck in the desert? And in certain ways, it's harder if the desert that you're in, you know, has central air conditioning and cable television and all that. So what do you do in the desert? How do you get out? So on page Yutes, the ha'etsa ha'yu'utsa l'zeh. The king is in the field, the Rebbe explains, the king is in the field, but as in the Moshe we saw that you have to do something to go out to greet the king. And we need to learn now, what does that mean to go out to greet the king? The king comes to us. Especially during those times where there's a revelation of the 30 meters of Rachamim, and especially in the month of Elul, the whole month is Kulay Yugim Midas Rachamim. The king is coming to meet us. But in the Moshe, the Rebbe said that you have to go out. In the field, but you still have to go out to greet the king. So what does that mean, going out to the king? And the advice of how to go about doing this, what does this mean, to go out to the king? He next see if it's written in Pashas Veschanan Udikashtem Misham es Havaya Elokecha, and you shall seek Misham, from that place. It doesn't just say you shall seek Hashem your God. It says Uvikashtem Misham. You shall seek from there. From there, what are we talking, from where? The Torah was talking about The Torah is talking about places that are all far, far away from where anybody lives. There are places that are called B'Kseh HaShemayim, at the edge of the universe. And again, here we're not talking about about whether it's populated or it's not populated, whether you're in the city, whether you're in New York City, or whether you live whether you live in Chavez and Matasalo or someplace. We're talking about where you are holding in your relationship to Hashem. So the Torah says, "Uvikashta misham," if you will seek from there, as Hashem Elokecha, Peirush. The meaning of this is ki hineksiv. It's written at the beginning, Vayar Elokim Esaor Ki Tov. And Hashem saw that the light was good. Upirshu Chazal, Ki Tov Lignos. Chazal explained that when it says that Hashem saw that the light was good, that this light, the spectacular light of creation, when Hashem saw this spectacular light, ki tov means that Hashem saw that it was good. It was good lignos, to conceal, to hide this light. Ki tov lignos. The more precious something is, of course, the more hidden it has to be. And as we know from Chazal, the world wasn't worthy of this light of creation. Shebechinas or shehu bechinas he'oris pnimius v'tzanias baruch yesh b'kol echad v'echad miyisrael. This light was hidden. And it's hidden, this light which is he'oris pnimius, we're going to learn inside the parish, we'll see more, which is what? Which is a light that comes from the inner will of Hashem. The hidden light. Yesh b'kol echad v'echad miyisrael. It's hidden, it's gonus in the depths of every Jew. But this hidden light of Hashem is very, very concealed, very, very covered and concealed in the person. And he has to uncover and reveal this treasure of Yer Shemayim, which is within each and every one of us. V'yesh mishu bebchinas avedas lo ubchinas golus. There are individuals within whom this presence of God in this light of Hashem inside of them is like a lost object. Ubchinas golus, in exile. And regarding that, it is written, "Uvikashtem, you shall seek it." Shetivakeshu techapes, so you must seek it, you must search for it. Ve'ein chipus elaracha aveda. That term of lechapes, of looking for something, is always used in the context of looking for something that's lost. It's not looking stam. Nevelt. It means there's something that you had and you lost it. That's what the word means. Dahainu davar shehu avuda etzlo, something that you know that it's somewhere, but it's lost. Dan davar shehu avuda etzlo bechinas galus. It's in a state of exile. Shu bechinas nitzaitz alakus hanal. It's the spark of Hashem Himself within you. V'zehu es havaya elokecha. Uvikashta misham. You shall seek from there. You shall look. Es havaya elokecha Hashem your God. Shehu nimshech mibchinas kel. Which is an illumination of that name that we were talking about earlier in the Maimer. Aleph Lamed. Which is the 13 Midas Harachmim. The beginning of the 13 Midas Harachmim, which includes all of them. Hashayr b'chol adam. That is within each person. Lahachyos nafshoy ha'elokis. To enliven, to give life to his godly soul, to the godly soul that's within him. Let's read the commentary. Va'etza, the left-hand column. So ha'etza lifol ba'atzma lotzeis lukabel p'ni ha'melech. What does one do to go out to receive the king? What does one do? You have to go. Hineksivu vikashtu mishomas avar lekechem umatzasa. The mashm is eshe, kidei limsos Hashem. The pasuk is telling us that in order to find Hashem, dorush bikush v'chipus, there has to be searching. There has to be searching. Even by the garden, there's a term called soul searching. It's a very sweet term, soul searching, to search within one's soul. One has to go out of one's. He says one has to go out of one's regular everyday life and routine. That's the beginning. That's the first eitzah. The mashmash is kedei limsos Hashem dorsh bikush v'chipus v'lechar eina muvan. So we need to understand. V'chihu yisbarach begedo aveda chas l'shalom. What do you mean? God is lost someplace. Yisar chipus limsos. So you have to go looking for him. Looking for something means it's lost. So the Rebbe explains the concept of Or HaGonis, of the light that is hidden within each Jew, which is, we can consider this the beginning of our preparations for Hanukkah, okay? That's the official start of Hanukkah. Which is, of course, that's the whole Yom Tov of Hanukkah is that in general there's a big mess, and there's a lot of chorban, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. And there's a little jar that's untouched and perfect and pure of the hidden light, which Hanukkah is the hidden light of creation. That is munach b'chayis moshe kohen gadol, that has the seal of the kohen gadol on it, Hashem, the kohen gadol on it, and the whole inyan of Chanukah, of course, is to try to find that Or HaGonis is within oneself. Ach inyan yuvan al pimayim chazal al pasuk vayar lekimis or kitayv, and Hashem saw that the light was good. So Chazal say in the Zohar Kodesh kitayv lignos. It's good to hide. That's not what we would normally say. When something is good, you say it's good to have. But Hashem says it's good to hide. Kitayv, when something is very, very, very special, then you know that it has to be hidden. It's the whole inyan of tznius. If it would be taught that way to the girls in school, they wouldn't get so upset about it. Every time the rest of their lives they hear the word tznius, they feel nauseous. Because what they heard from so many things, they're getting hacked, sneeze, sneeze, sneeze. And if they would understand what it means, that the more precious, the more beautiful something is, it has to be a chaysim, but a chaysim, it has to be concealed and hidden. When you love someone, when you're so careful, that it should be in the proper way, that it should be hidden. Kitayv, the better and the greater something is, lignos, the more concealed and hidden it is. Shehor shenivra b'yam rishon ignis. That light of the first day of creation was hidden. V'heinin b'zeh. Or is that koy al ha'aris panim hal yoinim shebesach kol echad v'achad miyisrael? What is this light that is hidden? It's this unbelievable, infinite, infinite light of Hashem. The light of creation itself. Of yo'er Hashem panav elecha. Yo'er, that Hashem shines His light to each and every one of us. And that light is so amazing. It's so amazing. It would be impossible for any of us to be able to live with it and to appreciate it in its complete open and revealed state. And it's hidden, therefore, in the depths of each and every one of us, so that we should have free choice. And the choice really is whether or not to go to the King or not to go to the King. The King is always prepared to meet us in the field. The point of free choice is, are you going to be a mevakesh, a mechapes? Are you going to be somebody who's uvikashtem v'nach b'sadrachenu? Are you going to be someone who goes out from the routine, who goes out from the habits of life, who goes out from what everybody else is doing? If one does, then one is able to meet and to find that Or HaGonis is the hidden light. V'or zeh gonus benishmas ha'adam. It's hidden in the soul of each and every one of us.
So why hide it away if Adam HaRishon is still not even there?
We didn't learn at what point it was hidden, and whether or not it was possible for Adam HaRishon to have access to that. We know that according to Chazal, that first Shabbos, even after the Chet, that he was still able to have the light of creation, which would indicate that Adam was, but then the Chet made it impossible, but because of Shabbos he was able to have, that's when he made the first Havdalah. That was really dark. That Matzah Shabbos was unbelievably dark. Right? The lights went out on all levels, that Matzah Shabbos, because he was able to have the Oragonis, which is why Chanukah candles, that's why there are 36 Chanukah candles brought down by Nes Hussle from the early Tzaddikim, right? The 36 Chanukah candles correspond, I'm not counting the Shabbos, of course, that's, the Shabbos doesn't count. That's the 36 candles, the Chanukah, because Adam Marishan had the hidden light of Bereishis for 36 hours. He had it for Friday. He had it for the time that he was created on Friday, those 12 hours and then 24 hours of Shabbos. So Adam Marishan had the hidden light, had access to the hidden light for 36 hours, and that's why we have 36 candles of Chanukah, which is the Inyan of the Oragonis, which is why the Tzaddikim say that when you sit by the Chanukah licht, you sit by the candles, not like people light the candles and run away, but if you're able to, you sit by the candles and you look at the candles, the Tzaddikim say that it's possible to have a glimpse in the Chanukah candles of the hidden light, a little peek at the hidden light if a person looks there. So Adam Arishan had access to that light. Shubchinis Hester veHelim Ma'od B'Tivo, but this hidden light is very covered and very hidden in the Teva, in the natural, beneath the covering of the natural life of the person in this world. Mazui Avodas HaAdam, and this is the avod of a person. This is our avodah, legalis or hagonis, to reveal that light that's there. That's why. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Sluse again used to say that you see people that there's a natural thing that Jews always when they speak about Hashem they go like they look up to heaven someplace like Uvikashta Misham, and the Rebbe used to say that when a person talks about Hashem he could open up his shirt and look right over here. He doesn't have to go the Rebbe used to say that there's a problem because people talk about God like he's far, far away, like in some distant galaxy, somewhere over the rainbow. Oh, Hashem. He talks from like far out, like out of space. So he says, what are you talking about? Just think, as a person, when you talk to Hashem, he's mamish inside each and every one of us. Zvikashta Misham doesn't have to do with light years. It doesn't have to do with galaxies. Zvikashta Misham means inside that place that's far away inside of us. That's further away than those places. Inside of us, Vikashta Misham. When I say further, I don't mean it's God forbid those places we can't reach even with rockets. But we can reach these places inside of us very, very, we could take a trip, Mamish, it's possible in a minute to reach that place. But that's in Godless, it's lost inside of us. That's the Argonis. And the Avadis Adam is legalis so hagonis vizuhinin ha'oitzah shira shemaim. That's why Chazal used that beautiful term in so many places. Oitzah, a treasure of yira shemaim of fear of God. A treasure means it's there. Shabakolachot dehu k'may oitzah ha'tomun. There in Tanya and Membezis, he says it so beautifully. It's like it's like a treasure that's hidden betachtis aretz, down deep, deep down in the ground. Shechoyfer achrov, v'yegia atzuma. You have to dig deep, deep to get out this treasure. Kach tzarech lachbor v'yegia atzuma. So too a Jew has to dig deeply, dig deep. It's very hard. V'yegia atzuma. It's to work hard. Legalis oitzer sheyira shemaim, in order to reveal that treasure of yira shemaim, hatsofen umustar, that is hidden and concealed, the binas halev, in the wisdom of the heart, in the depths of the heart, shekol adam yisrael, and we shouldn't think for a moment, and we always have, it's important to stop once in a while and to remember that this is not some sort of a very beautiful idea, like a poetic thing. Sometimes when people learn this from HaKadosh, and they read about they read like that there's this, that there's the light that's hidden inside of each and every one of us. So it sounds like it's such a nice, it's like this poetic thing. It's like, you know, you could, while you're like munching on some, you're munching on a piece of mezonos Friday night, and you're half asleep, and you read this, and you say, so it's just kach say lach b'yigia tzuma. And no, it's like you're reading a chassidish sefer, a chassidish swam. You can't go a page, a two in a chassidish sefer without seeing this right, the pintel yidnum, the pintel yidnum, to reach and to go in. This is not something which is, the Rebbe's not talking here about something theoretical. This is, you have to stop and you have to remember that this is a mitzvah. This is real. It's not just this nice idea, because we get so used to, if you hear enough speeches about to discover the real you and to discover yourself in the secular world, people travel to Tibet to find themselves. It's a very expensive thing. Jews don't like to spend so much money. You don't have to travel to Tibet. You don't even have to travel a havdol to Yerushalayim to find yourself. It helps if you go to Yerushalayim. To Tibet it doesn't help. But in Yerushalayim it for sure helps. But when you talk about finding the Or HaGadol within oneself, it's mamish and mitzias.
It's mamish.
Yeah, like we're living with Kook, it's mamish. We shouldn't think that we're talking like some nice idea. What a beautiful, such a beautiful thought to discover yourself, it's mamish. V'yesh mishu b'chinas avedes lo b'chinas galus. That's what it means of Yikashtem. It's true, it's something which is lost, it's something which is in exile. Besides the fact that this is hidden, the light is hidden within the soul of each Jew, so which requires a tremendous amount of work in order to reveal it. Right? And every time, God forbid, a Jew does an Aveira, any time you do an Aveira, it's sinking deeper and deeper. Sinking in deeper. Every single Machshava Dibra Maisa, any thought, word, or action that's against Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, that's against Hashem, is pushing it deeper down. Hine yesh misha orze, ein ragonus elohu b'chinas aveide etzlo. There is such a thing where it's not only gonus, hidden. Gonus, hidden. It's aveide, a treasure. Oftentimes, especially if you're hiding something in your house. A person has a safe in his house, or you have someplace where you hide things. Then that's good. Like I remembered that I had something. I had a certain amount of money. It was still a little bit like I got this from my father. My father had money hidden in different places. I don't know if you grew up in the same situation. I'm sure you did. My father has money like hidden in different places. There's like, my sister knows like the hiding places, in case of this, and I know some of it. It's this whole thing. I can explain it. If you come from a European home, you know what I'm talking about. So I have a little bit of that. Not like my father, who has spots like all over different things going on in the house. I don't know. I really don't know the extent of it. He's just got stuff going on over there. But, the banks are to begin with not safe, and it's a whole, and also when it comes to different, my mother's jewelry, there's also different places and I have by me and by my sister. It's a whole thing. So I also do that a little bit, except not those sums. But I also do a little bit. And the worst thing is when, like, I know that I put it in a safe or someplace. I don't know what I did with it. Like, I know it's in the house. I know that my father gave me some money or whatever, and I don't remember where I put it. But I know I have it. So there are different madrigas, you understand. The first madrig is when you're bal seif and you have a safe for safekeeping, and you put the cash or whatever, you have an expensive watch. I don't tell this to my parents. I have the watch my bar mitzvah that I got from my uncle. Please don't tell my parents that my mamish can't find. I'm looking for 6 months. I don't know. I put in the pushka. Even my wife, Mary Balanes, she's like super duper kaitis. So, we expect him to Shema. I'm not thinking about it, because to find something that has to be Pesach Hadash. I don't know what I did with this watch, because all the years, my mother, I never really got a chance to wear it. My mother always kept it in the safe somewhere. So she gave it to me by my daughter's chasna, and she wanted me to wear the watch. It was a big mistake. So she says, and take good care of Moshe. And I said, don't worry, Ma. Don't worry, you can trust me. I hear, like, since my bar mitzvah, I don't get to wear my watch. I wore by my chasana. It's a very expensive watch, you know, some Gewaldige watch, you know. My uncle gave it to me, and I saw it by my bar mitzvah, and it was an Ohr HaGonus. That was it. Then my parents hid it, and then I got it for my chasna, and I got it for my daughter's chasna to wear. My mother gave it to me. It was a whole summer. They came over to the house, and they gave it to me, and it's like 10 napkins, and where to put it, and the whole maisa. And then I got it, wore it by the chasna, and then, I don't know what I did with it after the chasna. I don't know. I mean, it's in the house somewhere. I don't want to, I probably, you know, because my mother said to it, so she didn't, Baruch Hashem, so she said afterwards, you'll put it in your, you know, in the bank or something. I said, yeah, I don't know where it is. So it's no agonis. So the different madregas, you know, they're different madregas. So what the Rebbe is saying here is that there is such a thing where a person has an Ohr HaGonus and he knows where it is and he knows how to access it and he knows to go there. So there are people who even though during the day, during the work day, they get a little bit trablonged, you know, at work, you forget who you are sometimes. But you know, you go into the room, you go someplace, you daf minchi, you take a piddle tillum, you know exactly where you locked it, right? You know where you locked it, and you go into that place and you unlock it. And it's good, but then there's a madrega or a yid. There's never the elikus, the godliness is a bebchinas aveda. It's still a madrega if you know it's in your house. Like if you still know that it's in your house, you just don't know where to find it. That's most of us are like that. It's not, we know that we have godliness inside of us. It's just we don't know exactly like you know where we left it. We're not sure what to do. Uvikash to mishamas Hashem alakach. We don't know where it is exactly, but we know that we have it someplace. Then you have nebuchin the bechlal. They don't remember that they ever don't know where, what. They don't remember ever getting it. That's a very different madregas, right? So he says that there's such a thing where it's bebchinas aveda etzlei, where it's lost. V'ahinu shebchinas golus tachas shlitas asitra achra, God forbid. That it's already in a state of exile beneath, it's under the control already, that light of Hashem is already in the hands, it's in enemy hands, chas v'shalom. It's already under the control of the other side. What does Golus mean? Golus means here we are with Jews, and we're not paying our taxes into the Beis Hamikdash. We're paying our taxes to America, which is already a nice Golus, Baruch Hashem. It's a nice Golus, but it's not our. It's not. We're not. We're, this is not where we belong. So Golus means Shidei Zarm Shaltem Alav. What does Golus mean? Golus means that there are foreign hands that have control over us. So too, there is such a thing, Hashem Yerachem, where the spark of, where that light of Hashem is already in the foreign hands. V'itaytzom yimaisav asher loy l'Hashem heimer. This is the result of a person's actions that are not for Hashem. Hagarmim shiyideach yitzayim yichem lishlot al ha'odem. That are able to have this effect that the hands of the outside forces of Tuma, of the Sitra Achra, can control a person. Zubachinas Midbar. This is the inyan of a desert, of having a desert, of being lost in the desert. Shah the Mamatsav Kazaz, she e Evsher, the Nitzites, Helokil, his galas by persons in such a matzav that it seems that it's pashut impossible. He doesn't know where to look for it. Look in the footnote on the bottom of your test, on the footnote 29. The Kitzur Tzemach Tzedek, the Tzemach Tzedek wrote a note over here, Al Derech Eizehu Shaita Ma'abed Ma'ashen Eisnim Lo. The Gemara there defines what's the halachic category. What is that? Which person fits into that category of being a shaita? You know, in halacha there are many, many things that a shaita is disqualified. A shaita means a fool. A mishigah, he's a shaita. It doesn't have to be he's crazy. He's a shaita. So what's a shaita? That a person should be in that category in halacha that he's a shaita, who, as we know, is exempt from many mitzvahs and is not responsible enough to be a messenger and so on, to sign a get, to give a get, all of these didn't. What's a shaita? So the Gemara gives a number of ways of telltale signs of how do you know that someone's a shaita? Hama'abed ma'ashen lo'isnam lo. One of the telltale signs of a shaita, to which I just confessed being you don't have to, I know myself that there's a difference. Ma'abed Mashin Leisimo means he loses everything. He loses everything. Okay. So Baruch Hashem, I know where my children are. I hope. So yeah, with my wife's help. So Ma'abed Mashin Leisimo means a shaykh is someone who loses what they give him. I mean, it means everything. He loses everything they give him. Ma'abed Mashin Leisimo. So the Kavanah, so Kepeirish Rav Magid. So the Mizrach Magid says a very deep thing on this. What does it mean, Ma'abed Mashin Leisnim Lo? Adam Begematria Ma. Mizrach Magid tells us that it's referring to the Gematria, the numerical value of Adam, of a human being, is Mem Hei, 45. Shen Leisnim Lo Ma. When we're born, Hashem gave each and every one of us an image of himself, a human being, an Adam. Is there any greater gift than being an Adam? And not only that, an Adam is, the Gemara says, only a Yid is called Adam, a Jew is Adam. So Hashem gave us the greatest gift imaginable. He gave us Adam, which is the Gematria Mem Hei, 45. So now we understand. That Hashem gives us from the highest world. He gives us ourselves, Himself, which is wrapped up in ourselves, which is the Adam, which is Memhei, the image of God. So who's the biggest fool in the world? Because if one's a virus, a shaita is a person who does a virus. A ruach shtus is a virus, as he brings right here. He says, "Kainu ma'ivar averim, kainichnas ma'ivar shtus." The Gemara says, "Why does a person do an averi? That's a shtus, an Irish guy. He's an idiot." So who's a shaita? Who's an idiot? That a person who does a virus and so on, and as a result of his averis, ma'abed ma shenaystemol, he loses the mem hei that God gave him, the 45, which is gematria adam, which is the image of God that God gave him. That's kol ma shenaystemol. And if you lose the Tzelem Elokim, you could be the richest person in the world that never lost anything. You never lost a penny. You never lost anything in the stock market. You never lost anything in Atlantic City. You never lost your wallet. You never lost your keys. You never lost your watch. Never lost anything. But if you don't have the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, means you lost your Tzelem Elokim, which is Kol Ma'asher Na'istam Lo, which is everything. It means you have nothing. Without the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you have nothing. Be the richest person in the world, and you're still a shaita because you're ma'abed kol ma shenayis nimla. You lost everything, and everything is Adam, who you are. Who you are. I was thinking about this, you know, because I was thinking about these words, this semasetic, because I was looking at this page the other day, last week, and then I was reading about this Jew, this self-hating Jew, Soros. You know, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. He's a Hungarian Jew, a billionaire, multi-billionaire, Soros, never said one good word about Jews, never gave a penny. From what I heard, he didn't give anything to any Jewish causes.
Years ago he did.
He did. He outgrew it. And then all of a sudden he pipes up. This is a man. He gives millions of dollars to try to get Bush out of office. He's a Jew that went through the Holocaust. You understand? I don't know if he lived through it or he got out before, maybe. But he knows he came from that place. He was darshening. All of a sudden, he was darshening last week about the reason that there's anti-Semitism is because of what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians. The Jews are causing anti-Semitism. That's why they hate America, and that's why they hate Jews, because if we would be good to the Arabs, so then there wouldn't be anti-Semitism, or be much less anti-Semitism. And I'm thinking of, this is a guy, he's a billionaire, and everybody in the world would be jealous of him. I'm thinking, and I had just been looking at this semesthetic, and I was thinking, Ma'abed kol ma'asher na'asim lo. I want to go call him up and say, listen, Mr. Soros, you're a Yid, I want to tell you something. It's one thing that there are Jews that are lost, but at least the whole world doesn't have to know about it, and doesn't have to be in the headlines of every newspaper, that a Jew makes that some billionaire Like they say, all of a sudden he became a politician because he's a billionaire. He's already making statements about Jews cause anti-Semitism, which is the same story that's because that Hitler had every right to kill Jews. It's our fault because we're Jews. That's why Hitler, listen, if we wouldn't be Jews, then Hitler wouldn't have, then there wouldn't have been a Holocaust. In other words, Jews caused the Holocaust. Sure. And if we wouldn't go with beards and payas, and if we wouldn't, if we wouldn't want to have our own country and so on and so forth, then they wouldn't kill us. Then there wouldn't be any anti-Semitism. We're the cause of anti-Semitism. So I was thinking, this guy's one of the richest Jews in the world. Could be one of the richest people in the world. I don't know. You know, I don't know the top 500. Ever since I went below the 500, I stopped looking at the chart. So it's an amazing thing. This guy's a multi-billionaire. Garnished. Nothing. I'm thinking, boy, his ancestors, they must have been tzaddikim, they must have tzaddikim's nefesh. He makes speeches to the whole world about how Jews cause anti-Semitism. And I'm thinking that, oh, and all the anti-Semites, look at this. What they think of him. They say, hey, Mr. Soros, you support Palestinians, and we hate you too. And we still hate you. He doesn't know what the goyim know. Yeah. The goyim know more than him. Anyway, sorry for going off.
He spoke from a Jewish organization.
Yeah, I know. That was his talk to the Jewish organization.
By the way, these are very famous things about Tzemach Tzedek and Le'Abed.
Yeah. I don't want to go off into something else.
That the woman was a very, 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 very rich woman, and she wanted to get a divorce.
Yeah.
And she couldn't, and her husband was a shortage. And she went over to all the Chachamim, all the what he did, she went over to Tzemach Tzedek, she last miflat, and he took up 10 kofikot, and he said to the shote, go and get me something, and he ran through the window, and he get in.
He sent him to the market to go
market
get something.
To buy some tabak or something.
Yeah.
So he came back and he said, here, the odef and everything. He said to him, now you're divorced.
He's not a shote.
He's not a shote.
Right. But that wouldn't get us out of the category of a shaita. That wouldn't work for us. Well, Zen Nemar Bikashtem Shitavakesh on page Chof. And that's what it means of Bikashtem in the commentary in the Perish. Well, Zen Nemar Bikashtem, the Ein Chipus Ela Acha Haveda. Chipus means you're looking for something that's lost. No. So it's still Madrega, because after all, the person still, even though the Rebbe just got finished saying, and we were learning that it's in the hands of the other side, it's bad. It's in the hands of the Sitracha. But there is still, the Yid still knows to look for it. It means that you know that something is missing, right? I mean, Jews are looking all over for that which is missing. One of my favorite stories from outside the world of Kedusha that I have mentioned many times over the years is that there was one of Einstein's biggest Talmidim was a Professor Eddington. This Eddington was also a physicist. He was a guy and a genius in math and physics. And he wasn't Jewish. He was a religious man. And he was invited, I'm sure you remember this, he was invited to give a talk. I don't remember, maybe in Cambridge, he was a chosh professor. He was invited to give a talk on the topic of science and religion. Since he was one of the greatest scientists in the world, and he was religious, so he was a good choice. So I read that Eddington got up at this thing, and all the biggest scientists in the world came, you know, were coming to this like conference. And Eddington gets up, and he says, Amayasu, that there was a person who was standing under a street lamp, looking for something, and a nice fellow passed by, and he asked him the silly question, but he says, "Did you lose something?" He said, "Yes." "What did you lose?" "I lost my keys." "What?" And then he asked a dumber question:
Where
did you lose them?" It's always an interesting question, right? Where did you lose them? So it's not I lost them in my backyard. I was playing with my children in the backyard, and I lost them in my backyard, which is, I live around 20 miles from here. So then the man asked him, "So why are you looking over here if you lost them in your backyard?" He says, "Because this is the nearest street lamp." as he said, this is the closest place where there's light. And Eddington said, thank you, have a good day. And he walked away. That was his speech. 30 seconds. Have a good day. All these scientists were there like notes and thank you. What was he saying? What's the pshat? So he was saying, you want me to give you a talk? You know, you want me to show you how you're going to find God? You want me to show you God? You're a biologist. I should show you what God is in your biology books. And you're a physicist, and you're a chemist. You want me to show you under your street lamp? So he said, go back. God is in your backyard. That's what he says in the Gevaldige Gevart. He says God is where you lost him. You're looking in places where you didn't lose him. You're looking at, why are you looking in those places? Because you're comfortable, because that's the only thing that you understand, is you understand a little biology. So you figure, because you know a little bit of biology, so you have to find somehow God, and you're going to have to, the only place where you look for God is there. Why don't you go read the Bible, he told them. He says, go look in the Bible. Go look in the things that our parents taught us, what we received. He says, a hasaga of a guy. He said that that's where we lost it. Instead, what you want to find it here, because why? Because you're most comfortable with that. Because that's the closest street line. That's the only place where you feel any light in your life. In that one little corner of information that you know. So this person is a biologist, a chemist, a physicist, and he's going to find it over there. So that's not where you lost it. Yet, a person, it's a madrega, there he says, uvikashtem, he says, the ein chibz alach aveda, that something is lost, it's lost, and that a person's a madrega to at least know that it's lost, and where he lost it, and to be able to look for it in the place that he lost it. Because there's such a thing where a person looks for what he has lost in the wrong place, even though it sounds crazy. But he's looking completely different. And that's what a lot of Jews are doing. What these Jews that are running looking for, what you have in Eretz Yisrael, thousands of Jews that they take trips from Eretz Yisrael to go to the Himalayas, looking at by the Hindus and by Chaisvas. But the Jews that are looking into all kinds of spiritual movements and things, that they're looking someplace else for what they lost. It's Rachmanis. When you're looking for something, and that's not what you lost at Bichla. It's not even in the neighborhood. The Ein Chippus Ela Achra Aveda, the Koyal Nitzaitse Eloki. This is referring to the spark, to that godly spark. Shubchinas Golas Vaveda Etzla, which is hidden. Rabbi Nachman's story, The Lost Princess. If you have a chance, if you could take a year off from work or something, it's kedai to learn the story, The Lost Princess. It's the whole story is about this. You have to search and look for it in order to find it. And that's what it means to search for Hashem Elokecha. Which is the Aleph Lamed that we learned last week. The Aleph Lamed, which is that infinite light of Hashem that is somehow present in each and every one of us. Mizel gam diyukalosh nuvikashtem es Hashem Elokecha, Hashem your God. Perish Elokecha. What does that mean? Your God. It doesn't mean out there in the heavens, someplace in the sky. It doesn't mean far away. It doesn't mean that your treasure. That doesn't mean that your money is in someone else's house. It means Elokecha, Eloka shelcha, your God. It's Hashem. It doesn't say Vikashem is Hashem umatzasa. It says Vikashem is Hashem Elokecha umatzasa. Elokecha, not Hashem Elokim, but Hashem Elokecha. Klaimer, zehu mashu Kadosh Baruch Hu keichacha v'chiyuscha. That the Baruch Shalom is your koyach, is your strength, is your chiyus. You can't breathe. You can't lift up your hand. You can't open your eyes. It's keichacha v'chiyuscha. This is the name Aleph Lamed, but it's Elokecha. The name Elokim, of course, is Aleph Lamed. Elokecha. Then in this person, it's lost. The Golus is an exile. Teicha ha'le'uma zeh ha'shalet esbo, the other side that is ruling over him. Therefore he has to look, he has to search. Okay, let's finish the list. V'hine on top. V'hine akosav oimer v'kashna misham misham davke. And you shall search for it misham, from there. And this is going back to what we just heard from that scientist. Misham davke. You can't look for something in the place that it wasn't lost. That's mamish. That's a bigger shaita than the person who loses something. No? He goes to the beach. He goes to Jones Beach on a Sunday. He loses something, and then the next Sunday he's on another beach, and he's looking for what he lost in Jones Beach. Ask him, what are you looking? He's going in the sand, looking around. He says, I lost my wallet last week in Jones Beach, and he's in some other beach somewhere, Michigan. So the Rebbe says, Kashem she'iyav shalachab is achaved ulumtz ulamatz azulas mokem shenevda. You can't look for something except from the place, unless it's the place where you lost it. Kach lo yosig or pnei Hashem, v'shetia havosoi lo v'yiros alponav ki im achar achipus tchilu b'mokim shenevdoloi. The light of Hashem, that elokus, that godliness, that you have to look for in the place that you lost it. Edith, Professor Eddington was 100% right. Al derech mashakosim, as it says in the pasuk in Eicha, nach besedrocheinu, v'nach kara v'nach shuva. Let us search our ways. Let us look into our actions. Sheyafashvesh b'maisa v'dibur v'machshavosav. Let me think about my actions, my words, my thoughts. Let me look into my life. Not to blame other people. Everybody's blaming other people. Why am I like this? And it's his fault. My mother's fault. My father's fault. My accountant's fault. It's everybody's fault. Where does it mean nach besedrocheinu misham? You didn't lose God by your accountant. You didn't lose God. Nach besedrocheinu v'nach kairu. Sheyafashvesh b'maisa v'dibur machshavosav. You should think about your actions, your words, and your thoughts. Sheovru v'cholfu miyem hayesa shalai tovim. As far back as you could remember in your life that were not right, that were not good, remember those things. Search amongst those things. And if you do that, your heart will be broken. Within yourself, your heart will be very bitter. And you'll cry out to Hashem. And you will return to Hashem, and He will have compassion upon it. What does that mean? We learned this in the earlier Maimer. We learned this in Mimamakim. Means you will return to Hashem that's within you, that was in you all of the time, and Golas, lost inside of you. Lost inside of your crazy thoughts, words, and actions that were not holy. Lost. And you will return and cry out. And what? And you will realize that that's where you lost Hashem. You lost Hashem in those words, thoughts, and actions. And you'll have rachmanis on what? V'yirachameyu means that you will have rachmanis on the spark of God that's within you, inside all the schmutz and filth of your disgusting actions, words, and thoughts. You'll have rachmanis that you drove Hashem away into those places inside of you. You drove Him into the desert, into the midbar. V'yirachameyu. And regarding this, it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, that Yaakov redeems Avraham. How interesting. The grandson goes and saves the grandfather. Yaakov is the midah of Rachamim. And Yaakov is Rachmanis, to have pity and compassion. Ki midas Yaakov u'michidas Rachmanis, shayidazeb paidim ha'agolus midas ahava. How do you redeem, how do you find and redeem and free Avraham? Avraham is love. Avraham means the natural love that a Jew has for God. Avraham means the spark of God within us. It means magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham. It means that part of us that wants to love God. How do you redeem, how do you release that love for Hashem that's hidden within you, the Arganas, The answer is through Yaakov, which is the Midah of Rachman, which is to have Rachmanis on what, on the God within me, on the Tzelem Elokim, on the Ma that I've lost, that I've lost as a result of my words, thoughts, and actions. This is the way to find, to redeem, to release free the midah of Avraham Avinu, Alav Shalom Kilach Enikra Avinu. That's why he's called our father, because every single Jew is like a limb, is like the foot. Krod avua means, brokard avua means that the son is like the leg or the foot of the father. Let's see what that means. Okay, the last line on the right-hand column on the bottom. Like when you're looking for something physically that's lost, you have to look in the place that it's lost. So too when it comes to this chipus, the spiritual search. To reveal this godly spark, in order that you should be able to go, it means to receive the shining face of the king. We're talking about doing something, going out to receive the king. The king wants, the king is there, he's in the field, he's going out to you. But in order to be able to receive the shining face of what, of Hashem, of what, of that godliness that's inside of you, that's called the face of the king, the light of the king. But there's illustrated by Hashem, and you want to be able to experience the love of Hashem, the year also, and fear of Hashem. So, you have to look for him. You have to go out and look for him. Misham davka, davka, misham ubikashtam, misham. That place of the klipas, of the tumma, of the improper and terrible thoughts, words, or actions, that's misham. And people don't like to do that. No, people don't want to look inside these things and to think about them. The actions, words, and thoughts that are not for Hashem's sake. Instead of looking at other people, instead of looking at the faults of other people. And someone called me last night, left me an urgent message. I had to call. I was at a chasna. So I called. This person has a whole thing to tell me about how he saw this person, terrible, terrible thing. And he told me it was terrible. He didn't say who, but he told me it was terrible. Damn it, I didn't think it was so terrible. I told him I didn't see it. He's upset with me, this guy, because I said, I don't think it's so terrible. But anyway, he thought it was terrible. About a relative of his, terrible, terrible, terrible. So I said, I want to tell you something. What you told me doesn't sound to me so terrible, what you saw this relative of yours doing. But I got to tell you something. The way you're looking at your relative and how you see him in such a negative way, I got to tell you, that for sure is a deraisa. I said, it's very unclear to me whether your cousin even violated a derabbanan with what you're telling me. I'm not even sure it's a derabbanan. But with the way you're looking at him and you're speaking about him, it's a for sure deraisa. Then he went to the second thing, which was, I just want to help him. And, you know, as I know this guy from before, so he doesn't have a positive word to say about people. So he's always putting down in negative, and he's calling an emergency about he saw his cousin doing something. Well, it was an Irish guy, it's not an Irish guy. An Irish guy. But this is an Irish guy to always see in a negative way. So when a person, this Indian of what, of a person b'chlal, it's our teva, it's the nature of a person that we'd rather see something wrong with somebody else. We don't want to look inside of ourselves and see it hurts. We're learning Maharsha Tshuva already for years, and Rav Kook all the time talks about how that hurts. So we don't want to look inside of ourselves and uvikash and misham. So we'd rather look for God in the Himalayas. But if you look inside yourself and your words, thoughts, and actions that cause Hashem to be driven into Golus, and that's like it says in Tanya, to take the head of the king and to put into the toilet, mamish, into the tzoy, into the shmutz. So to look there, it hurts. So, but if you do, he says, the Rebbe says, so, you know, then you'll be filled with what? Rigshe miriris avichukim Hashem. You'll be filled with bitterness. Your heart will break. V'yivakish, let's just take another overtime, just a minute. V'yivakish rachmim, and you'll ask for rachmonis. V'yoshev al Hashem rachmim. You have rachmonis on Hashem, on that spark of God within you. Have rachmonis on the hidden light of Hashem within you that's lost, that you caused it to get lost. Shlefiya perish apnim b'yirachmeo kari. And that's not talking about Hashem. She's baruch yirachim a lot of. The deeper meaning of this pasuk is not that we learned this in Ramakim, is not to have rachmonis, that Hashem will have rachmonis on the person. V'yirachmeo. Now, as we always, when we say this pasuk in Slichas, V'yoshev Hashem b'yirachmeo, the way we think of it is that Hashem will have rachmonis on us. The Rebbe says, nein. The deeper meaning of that is what? That we should have rachmonis on the God within us that's lost. That's what it means. V'yoshev al Hashem v'yirachameyu. That we'll have rachmanis. That look what we did to Hashem's book inside of us. Look what we did to him. Ela heipach al ha'adam should serve loshev al Hashem l'rachim lo v'yizbarach v'yirachameyu. V'haynu al ha'orish shem havaya, that light of Hashem's name inside of us. Shebekibah, shebechinas golos etzlai. V'ayidei yisayos. It takes just another 2 minutes. By day is Iris Rachman Rab Malitza to keep the Masimikaluso. And this is how this is Yaakov, which means Rachmanis redeeming Avram, which means the love of God within you, to be able to love God again, to be able to find Hashem. It means you have to be Ma'ir Rachman. You have to look deeply into those things of your life that need to be fixed, and be Ma'ir Rachman, you cry over what you did to that godliness inside of you. And you paid the mice, and that way you could bring it out from Golos Commission Emma. Of course, this is still the lower level of tshuva, right? We're learning Arisa tshuva. This is there's tshuva in the mucha. There's a lower level of tshuva. There's not the tachlis that you should be broken and bitter. But it's the beginning. It's finding the Baruch Shalom. Commission Emma, Koya Marshon, Beis Yaakov, Shepodas Avram, Yaakov redeems Avram. The Fipshut, Atebus, Shepodas Avram, Koya La Omar Hashem, Kilo Neva, Koya Marshem, Shepodas Avram, Beis Yaakov. The simple shot of the Pesach is, that Hashem will redeem Avraham for the children of Yaakov. But there's a deeper meaning of this. Ulam, Pashas, Aloshon, Mashma. To Yaakov, Shepodas Avram. Look, when you read the Pesach, the simple reading of the Pesach, if you give it to a kid, what does this mean? It means Avram, Yaakov, Shepodas Avram. The simple meaning of the pasuk is that Yaakov rescues Avram. How does Yaakov rescue Avram? How is that? So the answer is Rachmanis. With Rachmanis on what? On that lost love. Umavu b'toras aside in Kabbalah, the Yaakov midas midas rachmim, which is rachmim, v'avram is midas ahava, ahav miyahavi, ulefam rach b'yicholta shal midas rachmim, livdais la'iris ahava. Sometimes it's only with Rachmanis. Can you redeem that point of love? With this iris of rachmim rabim, you can reveal that spark of God inside of you. To be attached to Hashem with the depths, from the depths of one's heart with mesiras nefesh. Therefore, lachain lakach nikra avinu. What does that mean? Midas ha'ahava shel Avram ninsens b'toich kalechad v'echem Yisrael. This midah that Avram had to love God, this is within each Jew, the ability to love God. L'chein nikra Avram b'shem Avinu. That's why he's called the father shel kalechad v'echem Yisrael. What does it mean, our father? It means that we have all of our father's genes and stuff. That's what it means. V'adegilu midas ha'ahav d'Avram, shi ha'ahavam shetez v'leif kol ish yisrael adov k'bizbaruch ha'mesiris nefesh, onu b'chines bonim l'amokim. Liyos brach kara davu a commission is brach leil she's a moiral ha bitl he kolu b'tzinias brach li shum rotsim yishalom, that because we're all Avraham Avinu's children, every single one of us has the ability to come back to that reality of each and every one of us being completely nullified to Hashem and wanting nothing of our own, only to do Hashem's will, which means to be fully, completely, and totally in love with Hashem and needing nothing for ourselves, just to serve Him, just to be able to be oved Hashem. Okay, we have a lot to think about. What will we think about how other people need to do this? At least, we can think about that, right? But even maybe ourselves, and then Mr. Hashem will be beginning to move towards the end of the Maimer. The next chelik is when the Rebbe is talking about that what happens if you have a person who looks over his life and he doesn't feel Rachmanis. Azoy vay. He's in such a midbar. He follows the instructions that we just learned, and he says, and he feels good. He's all right.